We want our relationships to be what it can be, what it can be. I think about how Saul, the story of Saul, and how, you know, the New Testament Saul, the one that persecuted Christians, he was part of this strict society of religious elite, and they're going around stoning individuals for being in theological error, and he's like the original gangsta, you know, he's a Bible thug, he's going around just persecuting people, he's a bad dude. But God saw past that, right? God knew who Saul was, but he saw what Paul could be. And so that's what we want to do. That's how we want to be as husband and wife.
So what if we lived in a community where husbands and wives had all developed a what it can be kind of relationship? Wouldn't that be awesome? Mm-hmm. We believe in God's redemptive power. We know that He can transform marriages. And a marriage that was fully aware of the truth, yet fully extending grace, would be amazing, wouldn't it? Isn't that beautiful that we could fully extend grace to each other, fully extend truth, and to our children, too? And I know we're all in a process. We know none of us have arrived here yet. We're all in a process to be more like Jesus. And I know that as we continue to put His word forth, that we will continue to develop in the grace and truth. What would our marriages be like if we always looked at our spouse with that same vision and not be stuck on who they aren't yet or their humanness or their flaws, but believing the best in who they are and seeing the vision of what God's called them to be? Maybe that your spouse maybe hasn't even realized what their calling is, but maybe you as the wife or husband have already seen it. But just believing the best. I mean, love believes the best. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love believes the best. So we are going to give you 4 tips for extending grace in your marriage. The first is acknowledge your differences. Celebrate who your spouse is and give them room to be different. It's okay to be different. Too many people spend their entire marriages trying to conform their spouses into their own image rather than letting God transform them into His image. In Genesis 1:27, so God created man in His own image, and the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them. 2, allow mistakes. Sometimes we fool ourselves into expecting perfection, high expectations when we come into a marriage relationship. But no person is perfect. So we can say, hey, you can make mistakes because I make mistakes. Matthew 5:7 says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Don't nitpick or nag. Move the magnifying glass from what your spouse does wrong to what they do right. Focus on the positives and pray about the things that frustrate you. You could have the most rottenest marriage, but yet you could still find one little thing that's positive and start reflecting on the positive and not on the negative and work your way out of that situation. Ask God to help you let minor frustrations go. We can ask God, God, this is frustrating me. I give it to you. Help me in this situation. Turn to Him so that we won't cause unnecessary stress in our own marriage. Philippians 4:8 says, meditate on these things. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So important to meditate on the good things, the true things, the God things. And 4, forgive regularly. So many times marriages get offended, and husband and wife are not forgiving daily, and all that starts building up. And as we've seen in even counseling, that they start getting a hardened heart, the resentment and the bitterness sets in, and then to try to start working on those walls and that chisel at that rock is hard. So don't let resentment and bitterness build up in your marriage and block the flow of grace between you. Say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for disrespecting you. Can you please forgive me? Keeping that repentance.
Yes,
example. Luke 17:4. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you, saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Carrying that unforgiveness is so heavy on our back. Sometimes we don't even realize it, how heavy it can be, carrying unforgiveness. And we've talked to so many people, forgiving someone sets you free, not the person. Even if they've wronged you, you're the one that gets set free. And it's so important to keep the clean heart before God in our marriages and with our children.
Yeah, that's, you know, a lot of people think when you forgive someone, you're saying, oh, well, it was right for them to do what they did. But that's not what it means at all. It doesn't mean they're right. It sets you free. So important. Okay, so that's pretty much it. We're going to kind of wrap it up here now. We're going to pray. And, you know, maybe you've gotten a little bit critical in the name of truth and been a little rigid or judgmental in your relationship. And if you hear God speaking to you right now and you feel like He's kind of tugging on your heart to live a little differently, then that's okay. We want to believe with you and agree with you, and we want to live more like Jesus, full of grace and truth too.